On today's Next Fan Up podcast, you'll hear this.
First date over being on the Next Fan Up podcast? I don't know. What do you think, guys? It's a little questionable to me.
You may even hear this.
No. Thursday night is when you start drinking to prepare for the weekend.
But you won't be hearing this.
By the way, I forgot to mention, we all know killer special teams is what wins, you know, every football game every week.
On the Next Fan Up. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Let's get it started in here.
You're still not going to Hollywood.
Listen. Hello. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next Fan Up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the super fans.
But they are who we thought they were.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just coming down from the Gronk party cruise that I did not go on because it's not for married men with families. Hello, everybody. I am Pod Vader. I am joined here by three wonderful super fans as we will continue our conversation about the offseason in the NFL. Specifically, we're going to be talking more free agency, getting to the rest of the guys on the Pro Football Focus top 75 list that our guys did not get to on the Sunday show. If you missed the Sunday show, what are you doing? But you can listen to us first and then you can go back and listen to the Sunday show or hit pause right now. Go to blogtalkradio.com/nextfanup, listen to the Sunday show, or you can go to iTunes, just search Next Fan Up. You'll find our show. Subscribe, leave us a review. That'd be great. And listen to the Sunday show and then come back and listen to us as we finish out the top 75 free agents. And to help me go through this list and a couple other news items, I have Greg, our Steelers super fan. Greg, I have a feeling you're going to be a regular with me on Thursdays.
I'm hoping to, Jay. It's doing better this week than last week with Heath Miller. So we're going to next man up and we're going to keep going.
Yes, next fan up, next man up. Perhaps there's a free agent on this list that can replace Heath Miller. I highly doubt it. But speaking of free agents and free agents that they might lose, we have Ron, our Miami Dolphins super fan. Hello, Ron. It's been a while.
Hey, what's up, everybody? How's it going?
It's a lovely time here on the podcast. And then, of course, calling in from dreary old England. Oh, I'm sorry. I meant Scotland. It is our Redskins super fan, Neil. Hello, Neil.
Hey, Pods. You know, that's never going to stop being funny, is it? I would like to say I'm having a great night here. Liverpool just won in soccer, and I'm happy to report that I have bigger hands than Jared Goff.
Whoa, interesting. Perhaps we need more of that story. If you'd like to hear more of the story of Neil's big hands, you can send us emails to nextfanup@gmail.com. A few of you did, not just our number one super fan, Josh. We have a few other emails, so I'm excited to get to those a little bit later in today's show. You can also tweet us at NFU Podcast. I know a couple of Dolphins fans did that, and Ron had a Twitter conversation with them, which was fantastic. And of course, you can check out the off-season to-do lists, which we have finally got posted on our Facebook page. Just go to facebook.com/NFU podcast, or of course, just type in Next Fan Up in your search and the page will come right to the tip of your fingers. All right, guys, a couple of news items before we dive into this free agency article again. It came out today that Jason Pierre-Paul is suing Adam Schefter and ESPN as back in July, Schefter had put out on his Twitter feed the actual medical report that stated that he was having his finger amputated due to the fireworks injury that he sustained on July 4th. The suit says that Schefter improperly obtained the medical chart. That, I guess, is the basis of the lawsuit. Now, I am not a lawyer. I don't pretend to be a lawyer. I will not play a lawyer on this podcast. However, I did speak with my wife, who is in the medical profession, and she said, well, it's a definite violation of HIPAA laws. And to me, this isn't so much a lawsuit against Adam Schefter and ESPN as much as it should be a lawsuit against Miami's Jackson Memorial Hospital. So, Neil, I'm going to hold you out of this conversation for the moment since you're overseas and your understanding of our Canadian laws and all may not hold a lot of water here. But let's start with you, Greg. What are your thoughts here on the lawsuit filed here by JPP?
Well, you know, strange enough, I work a lot with HIPAA in my day job, and I don't know how Adam Schefter violated HIPAA law. I mean, he's not the one that took the picture and gave it to someone else. So it's just kind of, to me, it just comes off as kind of childish by JPP. I mean, I know he lost a lot of money and that hurts, but it's kind of his own fault. So I don't know how everyone else is going to feel about it, but I don't know. Seems like a quick money grab, and I'm actually more worried about JPP's future now than I was before hearing about the story.
Yeah, Ron, what do you think this is going to do for JPP as he tries to continue to be a contributing member of the NFL?
I'm not sure that a lawsuit against ESPN or somebody from ESPN will necessarily hurt him with the NFL, although there is obviously that partnership there. I'm just very interested to hear all the ins and outs, if we get to hear it eventually, about the improperly obtained part and what that really looks like and what is properly versus improperly obtained, and when they start to kind of cross the threshold of your connections as a journalist and your sources and what you do or do not have to divulge. I think all that is probably going to be the most interesting part of this lawsuit, assuming that this even goes anywhere, if it actually gets to an actual courtroom. I'm most interested to hear all of that stuff. I think that's what's going to get the stickiest in my mind. Beyond that, the implications for JPP, I don't know that there really are any either way.
Oh, I absolutely agree with everything that you're saying. I think in this new day and age of Twitter and trying to be the first to break news and, you know, how you break news and how news is presented, it's going to be real interesting to see how Jason Pierre-Paul's argument against ESPN ends up holding water. Now, having been a former employee at the four-letter company, I happen to know you don't want to mess with the ESPN lawyers. They're very rich, and they're very rich for a reason, because they're very good. And so, honestly, I don't think JPP's got a chance of winning. But I agree with you, Ron, that I think this story is going to have bigger ramifications on reporting as a whole. And I think, you know, there's a lot of places like, oh, I don't know, Deadspin, maybe BuzzFeed, you know, that are going to have their eyes on what comes out of this particular court case. Ultimately, I don't think JPP is going to win, but this could have some further ramifications than just, you know, a guy suing ESPN and a reporter at ESPN. All right. Enough with playing lawyer, which I said I wasn't going to do, and I did. A couple of cuts that have happened over the past couple weeks here. The Saints are going to cut Marcus Colston, who had been one of their top wide receivers, but honestly, really wasn't a top wide receiver last year for the Saints. And I don't know if he really was the year before either. Anybody here got a jersey waiting for Marcus Colston? How about you, Neil? Do you want Marcus Colston on the Redskins?
No, I don't want Marcus Colston. I think I do, as a Washington fan, I do look over there and admire his career, not only on the field, but also off the field. I once heard a really interesting story about the work that he does in the community. I don't recall exactly the details, but it's one of those stories you think, wow, fantastic. What a great, great, great story. So, yeah, good luck to the guy. I hope he picks up with the team. What a really good career from a guy who, am I right in saying he was something like a sixth round pick or something? Excellent career.
Yeah, he was a late round pick, and certainly performed at a high level for quite a few years. I know there's a lot of talk about perhaps Marcus Colston being matched up with the Patriots. I do not have a uniform waiting for him. Greg, you seem to be set at wide receiver, so I'm not even going to ask you. How about you, Ron? Marcus Colston a fit in Miami?
I'm all set. Thanks.
Excellent.
I actually wonder if he might come back to New Orleans when you know, later on once camps are up and running.
I think this was one of those classic, he was a great player and they're trying to give him time to maybe retire and he wasn't taking the hint. And so they needed to move on because of cap reasons. The Steelers ran into this last year with Polamalu. Sometimes when the guys don't realize their past being productive, they need that extra little push out the door.
Good point.
That could be. But here's another guy who apparently is going to be cut or has been cut today. And that is, or was it today? I don't remember when it was. But the Eagles have cut linebacker D'Amico Ryans, which I find very interesting. And considering that Gerard Mayo is just retired, I possibly have a jersey waiting for D'Amico Ryans for my team. I'm curious to see who else might have a jersey. How about you, Greg?
No, thanks. I think he's one of those guys just passed it.
Ron?
I mean, there's a linebacker or two in this free agent class I'm looking for, even though I'm hoping the Dolphins don't get big in the free agency this year. But no, I'm really tired of the Dolphins kind of grabbing the just past the prime kind of guys. They've done that for so many years, hasn't worked. So I'll pass on that.
Neil.
Yeah, we could actually use him. I think he's one of those players where you think, well, what's the salary going to be? Is he going to be a good value pick up or is he going to just be too expensive for what he is now? I think he's a situational player. I could see him with a team who maybe have a very young linebacking core and want a little bit of experience in there to help him out from time to time. But like you guys are saying, you know, he's a player who's past his prime now, but yeah, I think he could still probably do a part-time job, but not for Washington, really, I don't think, probably.
Yeah, you know, I see D'Amico Ryans as exactly that type of guy that the Patriots end up picking up on the cheap because he's asking for too much money and nobody's biting, but he'd be the perfect fit as a situational guy in New England. As you know, Patrick and I seem to disagree a little bit on the linebacking core. We do have two exceptional linebackers in Dante Hightower and Jamie Collins. I don't feel that that's enough. I don't think there's enough depth behind the two of them. I think D'Amico Ryans provides a little bit more security and improves the linebacking core as it currently is in New England. So I do have a jersey waiting for him. And I'd love to have him. You know, Ron, I've gone to you a couple times here talking about free agency. And as we now dive into our, you know, the article written by Pro Football Focus from a few, it's been a couple weeks now, but their top 75 free agents of 2016. The guys on Sunday did a great job covering, you know, 1 through 21, but there are a bunch more guys to get to, and the Dolphins have quite a few guys on this list.
Yes, for sure. Along with OV in the top 20, they also have Rishard Matthews, wide receiver, Derek Shelby, a defensive end, and of course, Lamar Miller, running back.
So what are your thoughts? Are you going to be able to keep them all, or are you going to lose some guys? What are your hopes?
Well, I mean, we're pretty cap tight. So the question is, do the Dolphins go make some more cuts, which they probably will? They could restructure Sue, which would give them a lot of space, but it would push off some big Sue money off into the future. I really like Rishard Matthews. He would be more of a third wide receiver for us, though. And I don't know that he wants to play that role anymore. I think he's deserving of being somebody's number two wide receiver. And I think they'll get a good value for him. So I'm not hopeful we'll keep him just because I think he wants to go somewhere and have a bigger role. If we don't keep OV, I'd love to see us keep Shelby. I think Shelby on the other side with Wake would be nice and a lot less expensive option. And 100% we have to figure out a way to keep Lamar Miller. We cannot let Lamar Miller get away.
Anybody got jerseys waiting for some of these Miami players? How about you, Neil?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'd like to ask Ron about Miller. How good is he? He seems to flash now and again, but I mean, he seems to be a reasonable blocker as well. Is he worth chasing?
The blocking skills is definitely something that he came into the league not having, and he's gained. You know, he's gotten better at that as time has gone on, for sure. He's really worked hard at that. But I mean, he's just been behind one of the worst ranked O-lines his entire career and still managed to do well. He's one of the league leaders in yards per carry. He can also catch the ball. Another skill that he's worked more at over the past season or past few seasons. He's been, especially considering the situation he's been in, he's done really good. And I'm scared. And I have this feeling that Miller is going to go somewhere to be someone's feature back and he's going to go off. I really think that he will. I think he's been a little bit limited in Miami, but it's part of why I feel we need to keep him. And I think he's the kind of back that Adam Gase will know how to use. Cause I don't feel like the use was there. He was properly used. I'm a big fan of Miller. I really have been since day one.
Would you take him over Doug Martin or yes. Matt Forte?
Yes, 100% over both those guys. Doug Martin for really? Me, some people don't want to hear this, but until last year, I mean, he had a pretty consistent season, yes. But until last year, that guy was living off two huge games he had as a rookie. And beyond that, he was very in and out. I don't see Doug Martin being near as consistent as Miller can be. And I think Miller could do some special things. I think Forte's past his prime, honestly. And I mean, maybe he'd be a fit in a team that wants a second running back that has some abilities. But I think Miller is better than both those guys, even though he's not ranked as high on this list as Doug Martin. I think he's better than Doug Martin.
What leads you to say Matt Forte is past his prime? He had a fairly solid year last year. He had an injury and he's hit that age mark, but I haven't seen anything that says that he's on the decline.
It's just, for me, it's just age. And I guess more I'm speaking that for what the Dolphins need to do. The Dolphins need to stop signing 30-year-old something free agents. Keep the guys you have. Miller is 24 years old. He'll be 25 next season. I mean, come on. I mean, that's just the smart keep. He's done well in Miami. He's produced when you give him the opportunity to produce. It would be silly for us to let go of Miller and then try and go get Forte or something like that. It just wouldn't make sense. It's the kind of move Miami would do because it's the kind of thing they've been doing, the poor decision making they've been having and why they've been 6-10, 7-9, 8-8 for so many years. But they need to get smarter and make sure they keep Miller. Don't let this guy hit the open market.
Greg, have you got your eyes on any of these Dolphin free agents?
Not particularly, and mainly because I guess I'm taking the view this year of really being like the Steelers, where I'm my biggest belief is in consistency year to year. So I'm really worried about re-upping my own guys versus what's out there.
Gotcha. Well, you and I were talking briefly before we started the show as we were going through the list, and we noticed the Bengals have a lot of free agents on this list.
Yeah, it's pretty surprising that they still have so many free agents on here. It looks like their entire secondary is on here, with even the likes of Leon Hall. And I think like Pac-Man Jones is available this year. I don't know if he made the list. But then if you switch to the offense, I mean, their second and third wide receivers and Sanu and Marvin Jones are available. And Andre Smith, I mean, he's a pretty good tackle, and he's actually had blow up some pretty good holes against the Steelers over the years. So I'm actually pretty excited about the prospects of maybe all these guys finding new homes.
Yeah, is it the two starting safeties as well who are free agents, Nelson and Iloka?
That's correct.
Yeah, they're one of the, when you look through that list, they're one of the teams you think, wow, there's some major work for them to do there. I'm not sure about their salary cap situation in terms of having to be able to sign some of these guys, but they've got $37 million available in cap space at the moment, and you got to feel they're going to need most of that.
If I may add, too, I think a team that's even in worse shape for people on this list is Kansas City. I mean, they have four guys in the top 22, five guys in the top 40, and they're all on defense with 30, just over $30 million in cap space. I mean, you got Sean Smith, you got Eric Berry. I mean, you got to figure they'll re-sign Eric Berry. You got Derek Johnson. I mean, these guys are starters and producers, and I know that Nick is high on that defense, but if you wipe out four guys from it, Sean Smith, I mean, four of some of their best guys, I don't see how that defense is going to be just as good. So I think they have at least as much, maybe more work to do than Cincinnati.
Well, I'm now at overthecap.com, by the way, great site when you're talking about salary cap stuff. The Bengals are actually, as you had mentioned, Neil, have $38 million in cap space. They'll need most of it to re-sign all the guys that are on this list for sure. And they're probably not going to be able to sign all of them. If we look at the Chiefs, though, They've got 32 million, a little over 30, well, not a lot over 32 million, 32.7 million in cap space. And of course, they'll use a lot of it to try and re-sign some of their free agents. But the thing is these guys that are on the list are actually really good. I mean, those two safeties, Reggie Nelson and George Aloka for the Cincinnati Bengals, they're going to get a pretty good payday. And my guess is it's not going to come from the Bengals. And Greg, you mentioned this Bengals team is just going to look different next year.
Yeah. They're on defense is what's really concerning, because as we pointed out there, it looks like their five top defensive backs might not be back next year. But on the offensive line, with Smith being available, they actually did a great job last year of drafting to replenish that. I was very disappointed to see that they were planning that far ahead. But, you know, who's going to play wide receiver for him next year other than A.J. Green, of course? I mean, that's going to be interesting. I mean, I can see Marvin Jones being a hot commodity.
And going back to the two safeties, this is not a particularly good We can ask our draft guys later, but this is not a great draft for safeties. So you'd imagine Aloka and Nelson will get some really good offers out there.
You know, it's a shame that English Simon wasn't able to join us. He's on a first date. I mean, first date over being on the Next Fan Up podcast. I don't know. What do you think, guys? That's a little questionable to me.
That's 50-50.
That's almost as bad as the Cavs player they got afraid of, scared off this week by the bed bugs.
I think I would see a second date for missing the podcast. First date, pooh, I think that's probably a bit off. You should have done that last night. And you know, if it was a good date, then yeah, sure, by all means, go the second date. But come on, Simon.
Plus, a first date on a Thursday night. I mean, I don't know what it's like. I don't know what it's like over there across the seas, Neil, but you know, that's usually a college move. You know, you don't take a first date on a Thursday night.
No. Thursday night is when you start drinking to prepare for the weekend. So
that's excellent. All right, let's dive a little bit more here. Greg, you got a couple of guys here on the list, and I'm looking at number 25 and offensive tackle Kelvin Beachum.
Yeah, Beachum is, I think, a top 10 tackle in this league, and he will not be a Steeler next year. I just don't see how they have the cap space to re-sign him for $6 to $8 billion or whatever it would take. And what's interesting is number 36 on our list, Ramon Foster, is our starting left guard, and I think the decision has basically come down to 26-year-old Calvin Beachum or 30-year-old Ramon Foster. And since Beachum tore his ACL last year and we had a guy that could replace him, I think we're going to go with Foster. And then we have one other Steeler on the list, which is Boykin, that we traded for last year. And all I can say about him, he's a cornerback, is he can go wherever he wants. Nobody cares.
The Steelers are actually one of the teams with the worst salary cap situation. They have $8.4 million in cap space, which puts them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, the bottom six of the league right now. The Dolphins run just above the Steelers at 8.6. So cap space for you two and for my team. My team is the second worst team in cap space with only $6 million in cap space for the New England Patriots at the current time. Neil, your team is the best out of those that are represented on this show today at $13.3 million. And you said you did a lot of homework last week on this list. What are your hopes and dreams here going into free agency for the Redskins?
Well, obviously we want to cut Robert Griffin, save the $16 million. And most of that will go to Kirk Cousins, I would imagine. We've got the two wide receivers. They'll probably be restructured, Garcon and Jackson. But I liked Scott McLuhan last year. He didn't go crazy as typical Redskins seasons have been, where we try and win the free agency title every year and make a complete mess of it. I would like to see us get a running back, and I think we have enough money to get a running back. Sorry, Ron, I quite like your chap, Miller.
And I think he's somebody who could, help Kirk Cousins out quite a bit. From the list itself, I think Washington has one player on the list. I think Terrence Knighton's the only one. Clearly, we don't have the greatest strength of squad. I quite like Terrence Knighton. He's a good player, and he flashes now and again some really outstanding stuff. Played better down the stretch, but maybe you're probably thinking about his contract at that point. I would quite like to see him back, but we'll see. There are a few players on that list that I do find interesting, and I think another team that's maybe also in serious trouble is Denver. Although I think we're hearing stories today that Von Miller may be close to a long-term deal, which would be good news because they could have the franchise tag ready for Osweiler if they can't get a deal done with him. But I think they've got some players there. Trevathan's there, Malik Jackson, even Evan Mathis, who was solid for them this year. And, of course, Brock Osweiler. I think, I don't know what you guys think, Denver possibly lose some players there?
Danny Trevathan, that's who I'm hoping they lose because he's the best inside linebacker on this list. And one place I'm a proponent of Miami actually spending some money in free agency is they got to get linebacker fixed because that is the most pitiful excuse of any unit on any team in this league right now is the Dolphins linebacking core.
Mm. The other thing, Jay, if I may just add another point in, is again, in the draft coming up, we're going to see a fantastic defensive line group. I think they were talking about something like 17 players in the top 100. And here also in free agency, there is quite a lot of depth. You know, the Jets have got a couple of players in there who could hit free agency. Your JPP and the guys we've spoken about. And I wonder, will that lower the salaries offered to the free agent defensive linemen with the strength of the draft coming up? Or how will that work?
That's definitely going to be something to watch. I mean, it goes to the question, do you want to spend your money on a proven free agent that you know has proven himself in the league for a number of years, or do you want to roll the dice and take an unproven rookie who may or may not be just as good as that free agent? That's where scouting departments come in. That's where guys like Matt Williamson, you know, what he used to do, it shows their value. It shows, what they can bring to a team. And that's sort of what these teams are going to have to weigh. I think I agree with you. I think the influx of defensive tackles coming in this draft should drive the prices down. Whether or not teams will actually follow that, who knows? We know that there's going to be teams that are overspenders. There are always teams that are overspenders. The Raiders are usually one of those teams. Now, we know there's a different regime in place, but the Raiders do have the second most amount of cap space. So as much as Monty, sort of went off on that last podcast about the Raiders are, just put them in the Super Bowl now. they probably will make the most amount of noise, I think, in free agency this year.
Although you also have the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are $74 million under the cap. You've got to wonder who are they paying in that organization.
Well, that's the thing. They've done it all through the draft. They've been drafting players. Yeah, they've been drafting players left and right. They've had high draft picks for a number of years. I think the Jaguars, I mean, I said it last year, I felt the Jaguars were that team that were right on the cusp and just weren't ready to get over the hump. Maybe this is the year the Jaguars can get over that hump. That said, I already mentioned to Monty, it's way too early for me at this point, but I am sort of leaning towards the Raiders being my boyfriends and just ask Tim how that worked out for his Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah. All right. Jay, come on, Jay. You've got to be fair to this team. They've had the Jaguars are probably the worst team in football for 10 years, and then you start a bandwagon? I mean, are you trying to kill them for good?
I don't know. Maybe it's all a big ploy on my part to keep my team on the top. Let's get to a couple of these questions here real quick. These guys sent us emails, nextfanup@gmail.com. That's how you can get in touch with us. And this is from our number one fan, Josh, who mentioned that he liked the discussion last week about heroes and our perception of them. One thing, though, that I would have added, and Jason Fitz, who was our guest last week, added later in the show, is that we as fans, both casual and even super fans, tend to forget that these athletes are people, too. We put them on pedestals and hold them to standards that are unfair, standards we wouldn't hold any non-athlete to. Sure, on one level, they should be held accountable for their actions and words because kids do look up to them, but at the same time, they have feelings and emotions just like we do. It's a good point. At the same time, I think there's certain knuckleheads and there's certain indiscretions that these athletes tend to get themselves involved with that if a normal person were to be caught in the same situation, and Greg, not to point fingers, but you have a quarterback that perhaps was involved in a situation where a normal person would not have gotten off so easily. That would be my only counter argument to what Josh just said.
No, that's true. And we also have to, I think we also did caveat last week that these guys are young and they are dumb. I mean, even the old guys in the lake, we're talking about a 30-year-old guy. I mean, some fans out there are 60, 70 years old. So a 30-year-old seems like a kid because they were probably one of their kids. You got to caveat all that. And it is a learning and maturing process that we have to see these kids do from the time they're 18 to whenever. So I do give them a little latitude that way. But, I mean, they do get the benefits of getting off. And it's just interesting that, you know, it's a good psychological debate over the different eras and everything like that.
I just think that sometimes when these young guys, like Greg says, absolutely spot on, they're just kids. When they do make mistakes, I think it's a real opportunity for them then to become those true heroes in the way they respond to those mistakes, by taking responsibility, taking ownership of the mistake and improving as a person and letting their young fans see that.
Our last email here is from Corey, who says, I will start by saying the Steelers lost the game to Denver because Brown was out, not because we needed him at wide receiver, but in punt return. I know that punt return is not as easy as some players make it look, but that has to fall back on the coaches not to have a useful backup for the past 2 years. We used Dre, and I'm assuming he means Archer, for 3 years. Each year he was worse. Then Jones, which Jones is he referring to there, Greg?
Jacoby.
But never saw Sammy Coates get a try. A young, fast wide receiver who could have done worse than what the Steelers had. The Steelers also have $4 million tied up in kickers, one coming off major injury, the other on the last year of his deal at $500K. Steelers would see no cap savings this year if they let Swisham walk and do not know what they could get for him in a trade. They're not going to get anything for it. You're not trading a kicker. Swisham is owed $3.5 million a year for the next 3 years. And for a team with issues, Boswell at a lower number might make more sense. But they need to find a kick returner and move one kicker. They'll not have them both on the 53-man roster. That is true. And Boswell will not make it through waivers. That is probably true. That's from Corey. Thanks, Corey. By the way, Greg, he adds, love the show. I know you have a Steelers fan, but more than willing to fill in from time to time if needed. So you better be on your toes there, Greg.
All right. Brought to notice. I agree with his point, though, on the kick returner. I mean, that's been a big flaw of the Steelers for the last few years, and they've used Brown as the main punt returner, not only because he's the only one on the roster that can probably do it, but he's also excellent at it. Probably in our mock draft, if I get to play GM again this year, I'll probably be looking hard at Tyler Boyd, not because he's just a wide receiver from Pitt, that doesn't hurt, but he's also just a great athlete that in college excelled at punt returns and kickoff returns. And I'd love to see them bring a Tyler Boyd type. They'll never get Tyler Boyd, but that's the type of guy I'd be identifying. As for the kickers, everyone knows Swisham's going to camp with them, and he will be cut in camp. They're hoping that someone tries to Josh Scobie next year, where we traded this past year a draft pick for Josh Scobie to lose us a few games. So
I can tell you right now, no one is trading for Swisham. You're not getting anything for Swisham. I hate to tell you, just the way it is. All right, I think that's going to do it for today's show. We had hoped to have a guest at this point, but unfortunately something came up and he was unable to join us, and we'll catch up with him again somewhere down the road for sure. As we'll be able to talk about the combine and the draft. The combine going on right now in Indianapolis. If you're not watching the NFL Network and you are a draft nick, you're definitely going to want to give that a check out. So tune in and watch what's going on there. As Neil had mentioned earlier, he's now excited that he has bigger hands than Jared Goff. It's pretty funny. You know, if you, and speaking of drafts, we'll have the Superfan Super Mock Draft later on this this off season. Obviously, right before the draft, we'll be doing that, where all of our super fans will act as the GM for their team and pick the guy that they want their team to draft this year. We'll have that coming up. Obviously, the Patriots don't have a first round draft pick, so we will still hear from Patrick, unfortunately. He's going to be talking about who he thinks the Patriots can get at the end of the second round. Yeah, it's going to be a tough draft for us Patriot fans. But we'll have that coming up. If you want to be a super fan, please write us nextfanup@gmail.com. That's nextfanup@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you very much for sending those emails in earlier today, gentlemen. We really appreciated it. One from Josh and one from Corey. And you can do the same thing. nextfanup@gmail.com. You can tweet us at NFU Podcast, and you can obviously check out our off-season to-do lists at our Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/NFU podcast, or just type in Next Fan Up in the search and our page will come right to you. One last thing on a serious note. Many of you know Ramona Rice, the sports gal pal. She's become a fixture on this show, and she had a lot of fun with our super fans on her podcast. She's currently going through a major family tragedy, and our hopes and prayers and thoughts are with her at this time. We really hope for the best for her as things move forward. We are very, very sorry for her loss. So please send out your hopes and prayers to the Sports Gal Pal and the Sports Gal Pal Nation, because they can use it right now. And on that note, I'm going to leave it at that and say thank you for listening to the Next Fan Up podcast.
Well, I think we learned today that, this game is four quarters long.